Hey lovebirds, welcome back. I'm Daniel.
And I'm Garrett, and we're your hosts of Modern Gaze. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the questions you should be asking your lover, your date, your significant other, and these questions will help you form meaningful connections, deeper connections, and maybe even fast track your way to love. Speaking of dates, let's talk about our first date. Did you or did you not make out with me in the car after our date?
I can't confirm that happened.
Did you or did you not order a full bottle of wine, a cocktail, and a flatbread pizza?
I did not. You did. That was you. You definitely ordered the bottle and the cocktail. I ordered the pizza.
So I think we had a really great first date.
We did have a good first date, other than you being a little bit late.
That was planned.
Uh-huh.
It was part of my LA trauma that I had to get through.
Yep.
So when I saw you, I walked up to you. I got this vibe, you know, it's like kind of like maybe F boy energy vibe. Wasn't sure, but we had a really great time getting to know each other. We had a couple cocktails.
We built a good connection.
It was a beautiful, like, starry night in Los Angeles.
It was cold, babe.
But we were by the heater.
Yes.
And it was cute.
And you were sweating. Do you remember we had to swap sides because you were like so nervous?
I literally was
wet. You were wet.
Underneath this like blasting heater on full speed.
It wasn't that hot.
I was
not, you were just nervous.
I was not nervous. I was wearing cashmere.
I was intimidating you.
I was very hot.
I was intimidating you with my bad energy vibes.
I think I was also having like a spicy mezcal margarita. So I mean, I think I was just like,
what else do you want to blame?
Anyways,
do you want to blame some spicy sauce? Chick-fil-A sauce?
We got that Chick-fil-A sauce later. No, not on the first date. So we actually
didn't
like do too much on our first date. We had a 5-hour or 6-hour date. I didn't have a hard time like getting to know you. I didn't have difficult time trying to just keep the conversation going. Most Same. Of the times on all the crazy dates I've been on back in the day,
yeah,
I felt like I had to carry the conversation.
Really?
Yeah. Like I wouldn't allow a moment of silence that was awkward.
Okay.
I'd always try to like, you know, keep it flowing, and it was exhausting.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that. I felt like I did have to pull a little bit out of you, but you were very open and receptive and you did keep the conversation flowing.
I think I was trying to be cheeky. I was trying to be mysterious. I was trying to like also give you some information, but not give you too much. Like I didn't want to play games, but at the same time, I knew that there was a little bit of a dance that you had to have on a first date to keep it sexy.
Yeah, I got that. I would give our first date 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10?
9 out of 10.
Okay, good. I would take that.
Yeah.
I would take that.
It was a very solid date.
So what is like the craziest date you have ever been on?
Oh.
Like ridiculous, over the top, funny?
Well, I can't think of a craziest date, but I was dating this guy and on Valentine's Day, he gave me a gift, and the gift was a watermelon, a massive watermelon. And he engraved in the watermelon.
What do you mean engraved?
Like wrote on the watermelon, like, you know.
Like etched like into the outside of the watermelon?
Etched into the outside of the watermelon. He wrote, I love heart you.
Oh,
I
no.
love you.
Oh no.
He had never told me that he loved me. And he just gave me this watermelon on Valentine's Day.
That's how big his love was for
That's
you.
That's how big his hunka was for me, girl.
So
that was very weird.
What did you do with that?
I put it in the back seat of my car and then I threw it out when I got home.
Oh, you didn't even eat it?
No. He put his hands and he like etched into the watermelon. I'm not eating it.
You mean in the inside or like the actual interior the watermelon, the red part?
Yes.
Oh, that's disgusting.
He unwrapped it, etched I love heart you. And then rewrapped it.
Oh, I want to eat that.
Well, you asked me if I was going to eat it.
Well, I thought he maybe like etched on the outside of the, on the green like exterior. And I was like, oh
wait, maybe it was on the green exterior. Yes, it was on the green exterior. It was like, it wasn't a half cup.
Okay. Well, then you should have ate the fucking watermelon.
Anyway, so that was my weird.
But how long were you dating this person?
Maybe like a month or two.
Okay, no, bye.
Bye. Boy, bye.
No. We talked about this like a quick catch-up date, like a coffee date or an ice cream date or something.
Which you were very opposed to. You're opposed to a 15-minute ice cream, coffee, grab and go, hi, bye.
It was probably because like I just didn't really feel like I can get to know someone well right. in 15 minutes.
You like building a meaningful, deeper connection.
If I'm going on a date with someone, I'm like invested and fully like wanting to get to know that person.
Yeah.
There are so many dates that we have gone on our dating history where there are some funny ones, some memorable ones, some shitty ones.
Some awkward ones.
Some sexy ones. Obviously.
Some ones that lead to, you know, hanky panky.
And some ones that lead to like a long-term relationship. And there's not really so much of a science behind it. But I think that most of us just don't really know what to ask.
I think most of us don't go into the first date with the intention of getting to know someone or building a deeper connection.
It's more transactional. It's kind of like, oh, how are
Let's just
you
see
doing?
If we vibe. Let's just see if we vibe.
Like, what do you do for work? And
how
yeah,
much
tell
money
me about
do you
that.
Make?
Like,
can you take me to Low Everton tomorrow?
No, it's just to catch the vibe, right?
It's the vibe.
See if there's a spark. But there's sometimes not a spark because you're not actually connecting.
Listen, the vibe ain't gonna last fucking forever. I was always so fearful to have deeper conversations and get to know somebody.
Why?
Because I was worried that it would just be that. Every time we met up, because the conversation was so good, because it's so rare to find somebody that will listen to you and go there with you and have those deep conversations, it won't lead to any intimacy.
Well, maybe it's just that we need to be asking different types of questions that spark different types of thinking, questions that make them want to share more information. You want to connect and you really want to build a relationship, or you want to give some more information or knowledge or like a little reveal of who you are, right? So before we get into some of these questions, because we've compiled a little bit of a list, and maybe this is like some questions that we've asked along the way, but
I want you to ask the question to me and I want to answer it.
Yeah, well, some of them I will.
Okay.
And some of them will break down, right? We'll talk about why they're good or why they may start to like reveal some red flags or some very specific things that you might want to know about somebody. But before we get into that, I just want to thank you for listening to all of our Modern Gays family. Thanks for tuning in every week. And if you haven't already, please like, follow, subscribe, leave a review, or join the conversation on Instagram and Threads.
Us gays, we just know how to do stuff.
Well, what about modern gays?
That's easy. Modern gays do everything.
So this might be like an ick for some people. It might also be something that sparks a huge connection.
Okay.
What's your star sign?
What's your star sign? What's your sun
Are you an Aries? Oh, yeah. If you're a Taurus, I can't talk
if
to you.
If you're a Gemini, L.
So when we meet some people in our lives, literally every single time, you do bring that up.
I say, oh, when's your birthday? Oh, what date?
And then what in my time? Head,
what time? And then I like go on Google and I find everything about them.
So that's a big question that can be asked all the time.
Zodiac compatibility,
right? And then if you look at like the book of birthdays and the book of relationships and you try to
type your birthday in their birthday,
you know, is this going to work? Is this not going to work?
Yes.
I think it's an interesting conversation starter because you can instantly realize if someone is into your
interests.
Kind of spiritual, like horoscope, like woo-woo vibe,
yes.
or if they're going to just fully shut it down.
Correct.
And then B, if they are into it a little bit, or if they know their sign, then it's like a nice way for you guys to kind of start connecting.
Agree. What was one question that you didn't ask me on our first date that you wish you did?
Oh, I think that I wish I asked you, like, do you see yourself living in Los Angeles for the rest of your life?
I think you did.
I did not.
No, you didn't.
No, I did not. Because I don't.
That's
I had
a
no,
pretty forward question.
I had no idea. Like, I knew you were Australian.
Mm.
I knew that you were living in LA, but I just assumed that you had permanently moved to Los Angeles, like, for the foreseeable
Forever.
Future.
That was my goal.
I had no idea that you also potentially wanted to move back to Australia as well.
Mm.
And that came up much later in our relationship.
Okay.
Something that I think that is like a follow-up to the astrological positioning is there a sign that you wouldn't date, or
oh, yes.
who do you stay away from?
Geminis.
So Well, I'm a Scorpio. You're an Aries.
Scorpios are also very secretive, but Scorpio and Aries are meant to be a good match, which is why I asked you. And when you said Scorpio, I was like, okay, let's explore this a little more.
But there's like preconceived ideas of like who we are and how we act and what our personality type is based on our Scorpio or Aries, you know, horoscope signs.
Right. Well, the thing is about Geminis and why I said Geminis is because typically they're seen as like two-faced, so that they can like be two different people.
Right.
So you're not getting a full picture of somebody. It's like they have two personalities.
And so do you think that that is like a little bit of your own preconceived idea?
No, that's the facts of what astrology says about Gemini. So I didn't make it up.
But what if that Gemini has done a lot of like internal work and knows who they are and can very clearly and confidently present themselves to you?
Well, then we can proceed. We can proceed to the next step.
But if you ask that question and you share that information just so bluntly like that, they would just tell you to get fucked.
Well, I wouldn't say, oh, I can't date you. I would like, you know, you'd have suss them out a little bit more, as we say, check the vibe.
So this whole concept of like talking about your horoscope or your sign and like what your preconceived notion is around other signs, it reveals a lot about you and reveals a lot about what they think about other people. And it's a good way, I think, to just like kind of kick it off.
Right.
And it's not just about the sign. It's not just about like revealing who they are, but it's also how they, I think, are interpersonal and how they think and deal with other people. So questions like that, and that kind of reveal those multifaceted elements of how we interact with one another, is the kind of questions we want to be asking.
Mm.
Let's talk about another question. If you can take any body part or physical attribute that I have and absorb it into your own self, apply it to your body or mind or presentation, what would it be?
Can I take two?
Sure.
Okay. I would take your brain, and I would take your hands.
My hands?
Yeah, you got nice hands.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because you don't bite your nails, so I would like to take your hands and put them on my hands.
Yeah, I don't want your hands.
Girl.
Ain't nobody want your hands. With those so
that would be mine, but that would also be weird, like on your first date. Hey,
it doesn't have to be your...
Can I just take two body parts of yours?
Okay, so these questions don't have to be on your first date. They can be questions that you ask your partner or significant other or whoever you're getting to know.
Right.
At any time in your relationship.
See, I would say like, do you find me sexy?
Yes.
But it's not. I mean, thanks.
But that's not a yes or no question.
But it is, because I would want to still know if you find me sexually attractive.
No, but you need to ask instead an open-ended question.
I know, but like it's a yes or no. Like, do you find, it's not a debate.
But that's not how you go deeper.
But it's a closed question. And then if they say yes, then I would follow up by saying, what do you find sexy about me?
Yeah, but most of the time, like it's just not getting to the point. Mr. Blunt, hello.
Hello, Aries.
You need to get to the point. The point is, what on my body do you find the most sexy and what are you the most attracted to?
But maybe they haven't seen everything.
Well, at this moment, for what you can view from your position right now.
From your peripheral view?
Yes.
Okay, we got there.
So what about this question?
Okay, tell me.
If you had to live the rest of your life as another creature, animal, what would it be?
A fly. Because I would just go on the wall and watch everyone's life while I eat some popcorn.
Oh my God.
And maybe I can also steal some food, you know, while the person's out of the house.
Daniel.
What?
So you're just going to be a fly on the wall?
A fly on the wall. And I can watch people have sex. I can watch people in the shower. I can grab people's food. I can like house sit for free.
Okay. So you know what that reveals about you?
What?
Well, take a guess.
That I'm into voyeurism?
Correct.
Correct. What would you want to be?
Oh, I always wanted to be a bird or like an eagle or something.
But then you're living outside. It's cold.
But I have all my feathers. They're warm. They look fine. I'll build a nice nest.
I know, but you see, that's like
all of my dreams that I have ever been able to control. Like, cause you know, like how sometimes, like if you're really in that middle part of sleep or REM or whatever it's called,
yes,
you can kind of control your dream a bit.
REM, rapid eye movement.
So every time I have had a dream like that, I've always been flying. Really? And I've always wanted to fly and be like in the air, soaring above it all.
Wow.
And I always reference bird's eye view. Like every time I talk about something, like I want to have like a really nice picture of things. Like I'm in project management, right? I do a lot of planning and organizing and team management, whatever.
Right.
And I'm always talking about liking to have a bird's eye view of the whole scenario. I like to know what's going on.
Okay, I get that.
And I feel like I can get that as a bird.
That's fair.
So let's get like more specifically aligned in the bedroom.
Okay.
So if you were to ask, like, are you a top or bottom?
Or verse.
Or verse, or what positions do you like sexually?
Yes.
That could be extremely
forward.
Forward. And very much like a kind of a put off in a way that it's not exciting.
Mm.
And it's almost like, to me,
it's a label.
It's kind of transactional.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get really deep.
Mm.
Like if you're just on a hookup.
But do you want to get deep if it's not aligned? That's my point.
But if you're not trying to get deeper, you're not going to really understand if you can be aligned.
Well, if you're versatile, then you can make some accommodations and you can explore in the bedroom together.
No, I'm not talking about whatever the answer may be. I'm talking about the question itself.
Right.
And I think that like when you're meeting up with someone or you're forming like an initial relationship through an app like Grindr or Scruff or whatever,
Hinge, yeah.
Like those are some questions that might already be answered because that might be in your profile.
Mm.
Lots of people go on dates and try to form meaningful connections through these types of apps. It's not just for sex all the time.
Yeah.
But if you didn't put that on your profile and you don't share that information right away, some of that excitement comes from discovery. But I'm talking about building deeper, more meaningful connections.
Okay.
And in that way, like instead of asking, are you a top or a bottom? You can be like, oh, I just decorated my room. I just got new sexy nightstands and it's just creating a vibe in my space, right?
Come check out my nightstands.
And then the next follow-up question can be, oh, well, what do you keep in your nightstand?
Mm.
Like that is kind of like a, oh.
None of your business, girl.
Oh, okay. And that's when you can be like, oh, I have lube and a dildo. Or you could be like, I keep like my book and a...
Boring.
My iPad.
Boring.
Like...
Bored.
Well, you can figure out what people's interests are.
Okay.
And that might reveal parts of who they are that can spark more conversation.
I think an important one is to... I love love languages. And we did a whole episode about the 5 love languages. And I think a good question would be... If you had to create a new love language,
yeah,
what would it be?
A new love language.
Yeah, a new love language.
Outside of like physical touch and...
Acts of service and gift giving. Because I think it's good. It gets the person thinking and it's also like the person's like telling you what... The person's telling you what they need.
Right, okay. So what would be Daniel's personal bespoke love language created just for him?
Daniel's love language would be passion pulse.
Passion pulse?
Yeah, because I'm all about hot, steamy, passionate
pulses.
Sexual intercourses with a pulse.
Pulsing. Is that why you like
pulsing
to do
it? Pulsing is like an adrenaline rush. Like it gets your heart beating, your heart pulsing, adrenaline, you know, thrill seeking.
Right. So that's just like another form of like physical touch.
On a deeper level.
Connected to the heart.
And connected to some other areas. Yeah.
Got it.
So just like, let's have some passionate pulse.
So your love language is a high sex drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's get naked.
Right.
That's my love language. Get naked. Got me for life.
Got it. Okay.
As you know.
Yeah.
What would yours be?
My love language, honestly, is spa, relaxation, travel. Like, so if you can mix those three things
together.
What
about like zen?
It can't just be zen.
Zendaya.
It has to be zen. Somewhere else.
Zen spa.
With accommodation.
Okay.
And if you throw into like a flight to like love a language tropical island.
It's called a zaddy. Your love language is a zaddy. You want a zaddy.
Who can pay for that trip?
Who can pay for that trip? AKA me.
So what about being friends with your ex? I think we should like, you should really kind of get that out on the open pretty early.
I think
early.
That's a good question.
A lot of people are friends with their exes.
Yep.
A lot of people have community and like groups of friends, circles of friends that have all kind of slept with one another or like tried it out at some point.
Also, a lot of people become dog dads. So very early on into their relationship and then that might end. So you might have a relationship with your ex.
Like you might be shared custody of the animals.
Yes.
So
of your child.
I think really kind of just tapping in and be like, hey, like, what is your stance on being friends with an ex? Mm. And listening to that answer would be quite important because it would help you understand what the situation is, what you're getting into, also like what your shared expectations are.
Correct. We actually did an episode with Can You Be Friends With Your Ex?
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. It's really fun. It's in the archives.
Okay. You know what's really good to like get to know what people are like functionally in life?
Functionally, okay.
Like with their, you know, ability to survive in this world. Describe to me how you would move from start to finish. You're moving house, you're leaving your house, you're moving into a new house. Describe that. What does it look like?
Okay. So we'd have to go get the keys, get the van, load up the van, do back and forth trips, come back to the house we were in, clean that house, empty it the fuck out, then go to the new place, and then you can unpack everything.
Okay. So based on your answer, you are going to do most of this yourself.
Me?
Listen.
No, so, I said you're unpacking, love.
No, you just said, I'm listening to your answer. And what you said was that you're going to do most of this yourself, which means that you are a self-starter. You want to get shit done. You also don't want to pay too much money to have the movers move everything and pack up everything for you. So you're conscious on price. So you're thinking about budget, which is good. Then you also are maybe crossing the line a little bit because you're doing a lot of manual labor. I'm not into that. You're like having to clean all these things. You can learn so much about what they would do in these scenarios. And again, this is not first date like conversation.
It's like fun, engaging questions.
You know, and it can be like organic, right? Like say you moved within the last 6 months, like you could be like, oh, I moved to a new apartment and it has a great view of the city. And then your follow-up question was like, oh, did you do it all yourself? You can like dive in deeper. Like these types of questions like really help you get to know someone.
I agree.
And then you're just sharing stories. You're talking about real shit in your life. Mm. And it's not just kind
of... filtered.
It's not. It's a little bit unfiltered. And it's also not so transactional and not so expected.
Correct.
Okay. So then what about like sexiest time of the day?
Oh, like what is your sexiest time of the day? The morning.
The morning.
A.M. The A to the M.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because you're snatched. You just woken up. I've got my coffee. I've gone to the gym. I've come back. I've slayed the mother tucking day.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So it's like a post-gym energy, feeling sexy.
Like the middle of the day and the end of the day, I'm tired, girl. Yeah. I've had it. I'm over people. I'm over the traffic. People have driven me up the wall. I'm not sexy.
Mm.
I'm sexy in the morning.
So you're a morning person.
In every way.
Right.
Yep.
Some people are night owls. They could be like, oh, 2 a.m. is the sexiest time of the day. It's quiet. There's a hum of the city.
Look, 2 a.m. could be the sexiest time of the day. If I'm dressed, I'm ready. I got my face beat. I'm ready to go. That could be the sexiest time of the day.
Whenever that is.
Whenever that is.
Another question, and it can be a little bit of a game and a test.
I love a game and a test.
Would be to ask your significant other, anyone that you don't know too well, that maybe you don't have like years and years and years of like, you know, memories together yet. So it's kind of like a roulette in a way where you like grab your phone, you just like randomly like quickly scroll through like a bajillion photos and just like pick a photo really quickly and select one. And then you have to reveal it to the person.
Oh my God.
And then if you really want to up the stakes is allow them.
Go to your hidden photos. Go to the hidden photos, like a close friends. Yeah. And show them all the hidden photos.
Depends on what kind of like where you're at and what part of the night you're in.
Well, then that's sealed the deal. You are going home then.
But I think that's kind of fun because it's like, it's a little bit risky because you know, who knows what's in your camera albums. And
you also might get to a video.
You might get to something. You might see something funny. It might be really cute. It could be someone who's like having a funny moment. It could be you drunk. If you do that for us, we're going to have all the same photos. All the same memories.
It's just gym selfies.
It's really
basically.
Not that, it'd be that crazy. But like for someone that you're still kind of like establishing a relationship with, you're going to get a little bit peek into their life and you'll also see a little bit of photos around that moment.
I like that.
And it could reveal something fun.
Yeah.
You'll also see if they trust you or not.
Mm-hmm.
It also might reveal if they're willing to be vulnerable with you.
You also might find some packaged goods.
Okay. So as we wrap up today's little chit chat around some questions that maybe switch it up a bit, a good question I think to end it on is right now in this moment, I'd like you to make three observations about us.
Mm.
that are present in this moment right now. Three, go.
I like that. I think you could also counter that by saying just a bit more general is, how did you think the day went?
No, because that's...
Or did you have a good time?
No, because that's not in the moment. That's going back. I'm saying like right now, you could be like...
At the end.
At the end or any moment in time throughout the experience with one another, it's like a good question that can spark a conversation and really pay attention to like the physicality and like
body language,
the body language. It could just be like, I love how the light is hitting your skin. You're glowing and it is so sexy. It could be like, I'm noticing that there is this like distant melody of music that's coming and it's just setting the tone and it's just right. Or,
wow, you're so romantic, babe. We need to hurry this up because I'm hungry, girl. I am hangry. That's the observation right now.
Okay. So as we wrap up, think about questions that aren't yes or no. Think about questions that aren't just really focused on the transaction or on what's just going on in your life. Talk about things that can reveal multifaceted answers that talk a little bit more about who that person is on a foundational level, but also how they would act in certain scenarios. Like these what if scenarios or these kind of like funny stories that you can come up with or share can reveal interesting parts of people. And we're all really just trying to understand one another and build a more meaningful connection. So until next time, keep building the vibrant life you want by being your most authentic self.